Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto with episode 454. You know, a shop or any business that is family-based can attribute its longevity to how they managed their integration with the generations. Long-term generational leadership can be used as an example when talking about success and succession. My one-on-one interview with Danny Durbin explains how he is integrating the third generation in his family's parts business.
He had to graduate, and he knew that. It was never a question about that. And I told him, I said, look, I said, we want to have this third generation, but you got to go out and work somewhere else for a couple of years. I think it was something that I didn't do that would have been great if I'd have done it.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy here. Now, did you know that some of the very best shop owner and technician training takes place at Apex? Even in this technology-driven world, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings that I've had at Apex, and you can too. Now, plan to attend November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. For information, visit aapexshow.com and register. Hey, your help is needed. Not everyone in the aftermarket has discovered this podcast. Now, since we talk the business of the aftermarket, the value we bring to everyone who earns their living in this great industry is outstanding. You will be thanked for turning on a friend to the aftermarket's premier podcast that consistently covers the talk that's on the street. You know, I love to hear from my listeners. If ever you have a question, idea, or a guest you'd like me to have on, just email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, by the way, find the talking points for this session at remarkableresults.biz/E454. Danny Durbin is no stranger to business succession. He is the second-generation owner of Durbin Auto Parts in Prattville, Alabama, and he is now integrating the third generation. You've heard the stats about the third generation, haven't you? Only about 12% survive. You decide, but I believe Danny has the right strategy to defy the survival statistics. He knows the procedures and the adaptations it takes for survival of the generations, having been there himself and done that. As he is planning to pass the torch to his son, Danny explains that Andrew first needed to work outside the business. You'll benefit from this story, as many service professionals have family businesses and do want them to succeed into the next generation. Find out the core values needed and the mindset of what it takes to keep the family business afloat for many years to come. Hey, a warm welcome to Danny Durbin from Durbin Auto Parts. Hey, Danny.
Hey, glad to have you.
Where's Durbin?
Durbin Auto Parts is in Prattville, Alabama.
In Prattville, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And you're second generation.
I'm second generation. My father went to work for a company and purchased a portion of it in the early 70s and the rest of it in the late 70s. And today he and I are partners and he's still there every day.
The reason I have you on is you've got a great story to tell about the integration of your family. And I'd love to hear about how you got integrated into the business and everything. And your 81-year-old dad still works every day. I love that. I mean, that's just American business and, you know, great family business. But what I think is fascinating about your story is that you said to your son a while back, you said, son, you got to go out and get a job before you join the business.
You know, he worked for us the whole time he was a kid, you know, 12, 14, 15, 16, through high school, you know, in the summers and weekends, and went off to college. And I had preached to him all about, okay, first generation gets it started, second generation gets it booming. The odds of the third generation, they either lose it or sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little concerned about being that third generation guy. So he goes off to school at Auburn University. He was an Alabama University, University of Alabama guy, but flipped and went to Auburn and decided to major in building sciences, which is construction management. And about the end of his sophomore year, he comes to me and says, you know, I think I want to come back to the family business.
Where did he get this building construction from?
He's a hands-on guy.
All right.
And at Auburn University, they're a top three building sciences university in the country. And the employment rate for the kids, men, women that graduate in that field is in the high 90s percentile.
Oh.
They're all doing co-ops and internships. They basically have multiple job offers when they graduate. It was an employment. The employment piece of it is where he got it. So when he graduated, he had 59. It was 57 men, two women. All 59 of them had a job offer. Most of them had multiples.
You said it was his sophomore year. He said, hey, I think I want to come into the business.
The family business, yeah.
Did you tell him he's got to graduate?
Oh, yeah. He had to graduate, and he knew that. It was never never a question about that. And I told him, I said, look, I said, we want to have this third generation, but you got to go out and work somewhere else for a couple of years. I think it was something that I didn't do that would have been great if I'd have done it. Now, my wife wasn't really keen on me making him go work somewhere else for several years, but he was gone for between his co-ops and his interns and his job. He was gone for several years.
Take us back to the argument that you and your wife had.
It wasn't really an argument.
All right, okay. Well, this great discussion is saying, Danny, why do you want him to go out and do that?
I just think, you know, having to work for somebody else other than your parents. I mean, I think that was a big deal. I've never done a resume. I've never had but one job, and my father was my boss. And there were times where maybe I could have done a little better if I would have been what I call out in a different real world.
You could have done better because you would have been more well-rounded. You would have seen you would have seen things.
Yes.
You know, you're right. I mean, talk about going out and getting some real-world hard knocks
experience
by becoming an employee.
Mm-hmm. And what we really didn't know is that when my son, his name's Andrew, he's 26 today. When he came back to the company, he was 25. But what we didn't know is that the field that he was in, it was construction management, basically.
Okay.
And so he had to learn how to manage people.
Mm-hmm.
He had to manage estimates. He had to manage payroll. He had to manage deadlines. And all of that related to the auto parts business.
Sure did.
None of us knew that when by going out and doing that, that it was all going to fit so hand in hand to our business.
So he graduated. You sent him out to, you didn't send him, but you said, hey, son, please go and get a job. What did go out and do?
He went to work for a company based out of Birmingham, Alabama, that he had interned and co-opted with, and he actually worked in Nashville, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and Leesburg, Florida. They were building hospitals, office buildings, hotels, things of that sort. It's huge construction.
Wow. He just got dumped into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, he had to learn how to manage people in a hurry.
Wow. And you're in touch with him these whole couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and were you just sitting back hearing the stories and being, you know, how proud you were about what he could bring to the business?
Yes, and it was kind of neat that one of my sales managers I have that's actually here is a guy named Bob Greathouse. I ask him all the time. I said, when will I know when the right time is to bring my son back to the business? And he said, you'll know. An event will happen, you'll lose an employee, a family matter, or what, and you'll know when it's the right time.
So what happened?
He and his wife are having a baby.
Ah, there's an event.
There was an event, and we were growing. We also are in the equipment business, not just auto parts. Mm-hmm. We do the car lifts and tire changers and air compressors, and we were growing, and we needed help. And so I sat down with my wife and my dad, which is we're still partners in the business, and I said, hey, I think it's time for us to bring Andrew back. It was hard because we were negotiating over the phone. And the thing that was really ironic how it all worked out, we're negotiating over the phone, and Andrew had to take a pay cut to come home. And let me tell you, you take a 25-year-old millennial that's really educated and making really good money, not many of them take a pay cut. So we sat down over the phone, and I made him an offer, and he said, let me think about it. And he thought about it for about a week. And we get back on the phone. He says, I think that's what I want to do. I said, great, turn in your notice. And he said, I can't, Dad.
Hey, Carm here. You know the number one reason shop owners attend Apex? Is to see the very latest new products and technologies. And in my opinion, a close second is the opportunity to meet face-to-face with your peers to discuss issues and find new opportunities. And let's not forget how much fun it is to get together with friends in the industry, both old and new. You know, Apex is the one place to see all the people, products, services, and technology that affect your business and your profits. Plus, you'll get to participate in the best industry training while you're there. You know, in terms of value, you'll take so much more home with you than the cost of your trip to Apex. Now, mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019. It's November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit AAPEXshow.com. Hope to see you there.
I said, "What do you mean you can't?" He said, "I made a commitment to this company I work for, and I'm going to honor that commitment." So he finished the job that he was on. This was in June of 18, and the job wasn't going to be through until September.
And you wanted him the next day?
I wanted him the next day.
Wow.
So I knew when he told me I made a commitment to this company, I had the right guy.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about, you know, the character and integrity and honesty and all right. That great stuff.
It was.
You know, he obviously he had it.
He did.
He had it. And it wasn't anything that you were going to have to teach him. Yeah, you could help refine
sure.
all of those great qualities, but he had it.
He's only been back with us 10 months, and he actually handles the entire equipment side of our business. It's within our business. It's not separated. But he handles all of it. We have two guys that are out on the road that do the sales, service, and installation, all of the inventory, the quotes, the billing, and all that. He does all of it. And it was kind of neat. You know, you ask about the construction business, how it related to the auto parts world.
Mm-hmm.
There were several platforms that they used. One of them's a software program called Bluebeam that he integrated into our guys. Our guys have iPads out in the field. And he built this program where they can submit their invoices and their payments and all that stuff. I was doing it by paper.
Hmm.
So it was kind of neat.
Oh, cool. Andrew brought some stuff to you. Is part of, you said earlier, negotiations. And, you know, I thought it was an interesting word that you used.
Yep.
And for all the right reasons, he's got to know what he's coming home to and what you want him to do. Was any part of that, anything have to do with how you could show him his career path in the business?
It was, you know, a big piece of it was his benefits package, because, I mean, we have a really good benefits package with our company, and he had a really good benefits package with the company he was working for, and he wanted to know where he was going to get long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, at the end of the day, he'll be me. And that's how it will go. You know, he would learn to do that. He already had the respect of my employees because he had been around them most of his life, and he was well-educated, and he was smart. And my employees knew that. And so I told all of them, I said, he's coming back to us. He's not replacing anybody. He's going to have multiple roles. And long-term, he's going to be an asset to our company.
You know, I love the fact that you basically outlined his role to the mm-hmm. rest of the team. I mean, to me, that is so critical. And I think what happens in so many small businesses whose children are a fixture, they don't go, they don't leave, they don't go work for someone. They just have been there since they were born, if
and
you will.
Gave a job.
And yes, very good. And they were given a job. So that's that old rule called the osmosis rule, and that is my team is supposed to understand what this child of mine does in the business. They're, if you will, they're wallpaper. They're there.
Right.
The thing I love about what you did, and I think the message here, is that you negotiated, Danny came back for all the right reasons, and then you established his roles and responsibility for the rest of the team mm-hmm. to understand. When Andrew goes to the next level, whenever that's going to be someday, mm-hmm. you will announce to your team that Andrew's got some new responsibilities.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to watch them. You know, my employees have been with me, most of them have been there a long time. We don't have very much turnover. We have turnover at the delivery level,
mm-hmm.
but at the counterperson level and things like that, we don't have a lot of turnover. And it's been amazing to watch in the last 9-10 months that some of the things that they were always come to me about, that now they go to him. You know, for example, hey, I got to be off tomorrow. Where they would always come to me, now they'll come to him. Or, hey, this has got to be done. What do you think we need to do here? The IT side of things is, you know, these millennials are much better at it than we are. Today, they go to him versus coming to me. So he's already building that management relationship with them.
You're probably extremely proud to see that happen.
Absolutely.
That he's kind of earning his way in.
He is. I learned a long time ago, let them earn a title, don't give them a title.
Oh, cool. So your dad's 81. He comes to work every day.
When he's in town. Now, he's a threat to travel a little bit.
Well, it's good for him. Good for him. And what does he say about Andrew coming in?
He was all in.
Cool.
You know, we spent many years, you know, like I said, I think I told you before that I've been collecting a paycheck there for 46 years.
Wow.
We spent a lot of time and effort and money building the business that we have today, and it is a very successful business. And, you know, you got a couple of options when you have a business like that. You keep it going, you continue to grow it, or you sell it.
Yeah.
And my name's on the door, and I just wasn't interested in selling.
Got it. Well, consolidation in our industry is a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. It's going to happen someday. Right. And I give you so, so much credit for what you're doing to keep this third generation going. And I trust me, I think your strategy on what you did with Andrew is exactly what needs to happen. You have two other children.
I do. I have he's 26, and then I have a 24-year-old daughter that's a PE teacher. She graduated from University of Alabama, and my kids kind of got split between Auburn University and University of Alabama.
Yeah.
And she's a volleyball, softball coach. And in the summers, when we need a fill-in delivery driver, she kind of fills in and makes her a little extra money delivery driving. I have a third son that's 18, just finished his freshman year of college at Auburn. Amazingly, he's majoring in the same thing that Andrew did, building sciences. It's the employment deal and making really good money. They want to do it. But he has worked at our store since he was about 12, 14. And today, he's our dispatcher for all of our delivery drivers.
One of the toughest jobs.
It's tough.
In the jobber store.
The delivery side of it and the dispatching is tough. You know, it's the face of your company.
Yeah.
I mean, these delivery people are seeing our customers all day, every day.
Yep. How they're treated, how the customers are served, decisions that are made on what order the invoices go out on the truck.
Right.
And oh my God, it is probably the single most important job in the jobber store, like no different than the service advisor at the shop.
If you miss one delivery driver, it's chaos. You can miss one counter person and get by.
Will your younger son go through the same program that you offered Andrew?
You know, we don't know today. I mean, he's 18.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
There's plenty of time. And, you know, he's made it clear that, you know, I won't know for 5 years whether he's coming back or not. You know, it'll take him 3 more years to graduate. And then if he goes out and works for another company for a couple of years, you know, will we make an opportunity for him if he wants it? Probably. You'll have to go down the same path, but it's pretty neat to watch the pride that they have in wearing their company's name, which is their name, on their shirt.
Great story. How do you see the jobbing business in the future?
It's bright. It's a huge, it's really bright future. I'm affiliated with the Carquest Auto Parts program, which to me is the best program out there. We're growing every month. We're adding new greenfield stores, converting jobbers out there. And I've always said that our industry is a very stable industry, because I don't know anybody that drives a vehicle that's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to drive anymore. And it doesn't matter if we've got flying cars or driving cars or autonomous cars, they're going to break.
Yeah.
And so I think it's bright. I really do.
Great outlook. And thank you so much, Danny Durbin from Durbin Auto Parts in Prattville, Alabama. For sharing your story on the third generation.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.